Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Women's Leadership Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda, an editor at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to welcome Dr. Terry Dallas-Prinskis, co-founder of the Illinois Pain Institute. Dr. Dallas-Prinskis previously served as chairman of the Pain Management Program at the University of Chicago. She has devoted her career to helping patients and serving as a leader in her community. Dr. Dallas-Prinskis, could you tell us a little bit about your background before we dive into our discussion?
Sure, and thank you for this opportunity. Well, I grew up in Michigan. My mother was a school nurse, and my father had never-ending education. He was a physical therapist, paramedic, detective. And so we were always involved with a lot of different things, a lot of learning, a lot of fun things. They were even the EMTs for the WWE. When I was 16, I worked at a sickle cell clinic, which we traveled and we tested people, and I just fell in love with the whole aspect of medicine at that time. I had wanted to be a school teacher, but this changed my idea into wanting to be a physician. But unfortunately, I did not have any role models in my life at that time. I was eventually accepted to Andrews University, where I majored in biology and minored in chemistry. And I had a counselor who never spoke to me the entire time. And in my senior year, he said, you know, why don't you go into home ec? And I remember being so frustrated and angry and hurt. He didn't even tell me that I should take an MCAT. Another student told me that. And so finally, I got it together. I took the MCAT. Excellent on it. And I had letters of interviews from Baylor, Stanford, Harvard, and Howard University. And I was tired of the struggle. I just wanted to learn and be somewhere where I was accepted. And I accepted the opportunity to go to Howard University and Washington, D.C., and just fell in love with it. Now, I forgot to tell you one important thing is that I am an African-American woman. And so when I got there, I was very excited to see some of the role models that I had read about, you know, over the years. And one of them was Roland Scott, and he was very the starter, basically, of the knowledge of sickle cell disease. And so that was extremely exciting for me. When I got into medical school, my grandfather, who was a minister, gave me a book entitled Medical Missionaries. And I had always wanted to be a missionary, but I was such a homebody that I wasn't going anywhere. So he told me to read it and decide what I wanted to do with that. After medical school, I decided I wanted to be an anesthesiologist. And I studied that for a couple of years. And then realized I hated the operating room. I hated putting on a mask, so you know how I'm feeling now with this. Decided from one of my proctors, he said, you know what, you're really good with your hands. You've got good skills. Why don't you go into regional anesthesia? And then he said, better yet, there's a new specialty called pain management. I think you would do well with that. At that time, there were only three universities that offered a fellowship in pain management, and I had the opportunity to have one of those spots at the University of Medicine and Dentistry, and from there it was that was my life. Also at that time, my godmother had breast cancer, and for the life of me, I was trying to figure out during that time period what I could do in the field of pain management to help her as she suffered through that condition. And that really solidified my thinking and my desire to be a pain management doctor.
That's extremely fascinating and inspiring story on how you were able to go from a place where you feel like you were not supported at all and then growing and developing a career in medicine and really being among the first to jump into pain management and having a really successful career after that. So that's fascinating to hear. you have experience as the chairman of the pain management program at the University of Chicago before you founded your own practice. Could you talk a little bit about your journey as a female leader? I know you talked already about some of the things you had to overcome in order to just become a physician, but when you look at becoming a female physician leader, what else did that entail for you?
So once I finished my fellowship, I was putting out feelers for jobs, and I remember getting a call, this was before email, of course, but getting a call from Dr. Mike Royce, and he was at the University of Chicago. He said that he was coming to the airport in New Jersey. He had a layover, and would I come over and interview for a position for pain management at the University of Chicago. And I remember sitting, and he gave me the passcode or something for the lounge. And I remember sitting in the lounge waiting. And he came up, and if you know Mike, he's very short. He's about 5'3". And I had on heels, and I'm 5'8", and I had on 3-inch heels. So I remember him saying, when I stood up, "How tall are you, woman?" But anyway, we talked, and we enjoyed a conversation. And then he invited me to come to Chicago to look at the university. And I did that a couple of months later and just fell in love with it. And I had two physicians that really helped me through. It was Fred Brown, who was a neurosurgeon, and Daniel Mass, he was orthopedic surgeon. And we sort of put our heads together as to how we were going to form this interventional pain management clinic. And we had a combination of psychologists and physical therapists. And it was more of an interventional combination of specialties. It was very difficult during that time period because the field was so new. No one really understood what we were doing. We were sort of moved from place to place. And finally, we found a home in one of the suites there. They gave it to us. And we had a couple fellows. And the hard thing was no one in the anesthesia department really understood what we were doing. And they would constantly pull the fellows to come to the operating room if they were short-staffed. And so I had to oftentimes struggle. I mean, put my foot down, like, you know, these are my guys. We're going to figure out how to make this pain clinic run. And we would see probably 30 patients a day, the three of us, as I'm teaching and showing them what to do and then spending time doing procedures. And it was just like the wild, wild west. I mean, we were trying things that were never tried before and certainly not really understood. But it was a struggle, but it was a good struggle. We learned a lot. And I was able, when I left, to pass that on to another fellow that I had trained. But I think the greatest part about all of this was that during this time period, I think I trained five fellows, and each of those fellows went on to become directors of programs. And so that was, you know, just a rewarding experience for me.
That must be an amazing feeling and very fulfilling for you. Now, when you're looking at female physician leaders today, what do you see as some of the biggest challenges that they face?
You know, for females, especially those who are married and have children, there's always a challenge because there's two full-time jobs. And the challenge is how to balance home and work. You want healthy, mentally stable children. And then on top of that, you want good outcomes for your patients. So that's always the challenge. And also, you're more likely to sacrifice some aspects of your medical career. In my case, I spent less time at meetings, less time writing papers, less of a push, you know, to get ahead. I was very new in this field, and the field was very new itself. I had the opportunity to do a lot of things, but because I had gotten married and I had children, and I knew I wanted these children to be healthy, minded children, I put a lot of my life on the back burner. You know, and there's always that feeling of guilt, constant fatigue, feeling like you're being pulled in all directions, and that sense that you have to be there and have to do it all. I remember even coming home after starting my workday at 7 and sitting in the garage after I got home and just taking a breath, saying, okay, here goes my second job. And then, you know, going in, ripping and running. And our rule at home during that time was we would always come home and have dinner with the kids. So no matter what we were doing, we had to stop, and the four of us would sit down and have dinner, you know, talk about each other's day. And then when they went to bed, we would continue what we had to do. Sometimes for me, it was even going back to work and finishing up my paperwork. So it was always something going on. It's difficult.
I can definitely appreciate that. What advice do you have for female physicians early in their careers or who have aspirations of leadership or building their own practices like you've done? What advice would you have, or what would you tell them?
The first thing I would say is to be humble. You don't know it all. You'll learn. The second is to be teachable. Your patients are going to teach you a lot. The older doctors will teach you a lot, and your nurses will teach you a lot of everything, and to use them. And then thirdly, to listen. Your patients will typically, by listening to them, they'll tell you exactly what's wrong with them. You don't really always have to figure it out. Just listen to what they have to say. And then don't be afraid to put yourself out there. There's a verse in the Bible that I used to carry in my pocket and look at it constantly. It's found in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God did not give you a spirit of being timid or of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So he gave you everything that you need to be successful. You just have to call on him. And that's something that my grandfather taught me when he gave me this book about medical missionaries. And what I ended up doing with that book, especially early on as an anesthesiologist, I would see my patients in the for the pre-op, and we would talk, and I get all the information. And then, you know, they're always afraid. So I would say, you know, would you like to pray? And I would pray with them. And then I say, you know, then in the morning when I give you your anesthesia, I'm going to pray just before I put you to sleep. And I would put my forehead on their forehead. So the last thing that they would hear just before they went to sleep was me praying for them. And it was always that sense of calm that they had, and took away the fear of them having to have a procedure and having the anesthesia. And then even now in my pain practice, if a patient is upset, they're crying, I always hold their hand and I always offer a prayer for them. I ask them first, and I have never had anyone who said no.
That's really beautiful and such an inspiring way to practice medicine. I think it's something that I know a lot of physicians would be very well to pay attention to and replicate, I think. What excites you about practicing medicine today?
Oh, so many things. Seeing patients at their worst and then having them come back for a follow-up visit, and, you know, they're feeling much better. They may be back to work, or they're doing activities that they like. It also excites me that we've got so many new things coming out. I can now treat a patient from head to toe with, you know, all kind of modalities. And my partners, they typically see the spine cases, and I see the other cases, such as peripheral nerve problems, pelvic floor, abdominal pain, headache pain. And there's so much technology out for that. I recently authored and reviewed several publications from our editor, Andrea Trescott, who is huge in the pain field. And she edited a book entitled Peripheral Nerve Entrapments. And I had the opportunity to write several chapters on that. And so not only now can we just inject nerves and patients get better, but we also have a modality called stem wave, which is very similar to spinal cord stimulation. And we can and plant this electrode right on a peripheral nerve and take the pain away. So I can implant this thing on a patient who has pelvic pain or pelvic floor pain, or abdominal pain, and that pain almost instantly goes away. And so that's exciting. Recently, we've gotten into the field of regenerative medicine or stem cell therapy, and I have seen some tremendous results with that. I've also had stem cell therapy on my knees, and I've been running again for a very long time. So that's exciting even for me. Other things that excite me are we are now expanding our business, our pain clinics, to other states. I'm working with my husband and now my son, and we're taking good clinics to great as they form a consortium. And we're following the pain management best practices task force recommendations. And so we're seeing a lot of decrease opioid use by fixing the underlying problems. And that's been very, very exciting. I'm going on and on here, but one of the other things is my daughter graduated from medical school this year. And I'm excited about that. No more bills. She'll be starting her internship and residency in pediatric oncology. And then lastly, I am still able to teach. I've been going to Europe every year, and I teach pain management, which is always exciting. So I've come full circle where I used to want to be a school teacher, and I'm still doing this at the same time. I'm practicing medicine. I'm doing two things that I just absolutely love.
It sounds like you've found a great balance between being a leader in medicine and physician and teaching, as well as in your home with your family. So thank you so much, Dr. Dallas Prunskis, for joining us today. It's been really a pleasure to speak with you, and I look forward to continuing our conversation and connection in the future.
Thank you so much.